The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, wherever you are on our lovely, lovely, lovely planet. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
And welcome to Being Here.
And Being Here is the name of this show, and that's what our lives are about.
And the theme of this show is the complaint department is closed. So we're looking forward to a great show today, but we have to remind you right up front that we like to finish each other's sentences.
So when we do... If you do, please don't disturb yourself too much with our style.
Yeah, we just like to, you know, we think on the same wavelength.
That's right. We've been together going on 30 years.
Isn't that neat? And you know what's interesting? When you're not complaining in your thoughts, you can travel in synchronicity with your life, and that includes with your mate. But if you're complaining, then you're in a fight.
With your life, and therefore with your mate, if you have a mate. And if you don't have a mate, you'll find somebody else to have a fight with.
Yes, you'll probably start fighting with yourself first.
That's right.
And your mate second, and everybody else follows.
But let's talk about listening.
Let's do that.
See, most people listen to their thoughts about what's being said to see whether they agree with what's being said or they disagree with what's being said.
Or if they've heard it all before.
Yes, especially the smart ones who have read all kinds of books on enlightenment disagree with our approach because it's supposed to be hard and arduous rather than easy.
Now, mind you, a lot of you are steady listeners, and you've listened to a lot of these shows. So you could complain that we talk about listening
all the time.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, if you stopped complaining about it, we'd probably stop talking about it. Not really, because we still need to talk about it for the people that don't know that listening, true listening, where you listen to hear what another person is saying from their point of view, pulls you into the current moment of your life, and transformation is a byproduct. Enlightenment is a byproduct of getting into the current moment of your life. So if listening, true listening, brings you into that current moment, that's why we talk about it so much.
But
we must.
If you resist it, it'll go on forever.
And
because
we'll keep talking about it.
Anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and dominates your radio show.
Even talking about listening. Okay.
But that's actually the first principle.
Yeah. Of instantaneous transformation. The second principle says that you can't be any different than you are in the current moment of your life.
Can we go back to the first principle?
Oh, I'd love to.
It's actually more than your radio show. Anything you resist, it persists, and it dominates your life. It dominates your thought processes. It actually morphs into a complaint.
Well, if you look and tell the truth, you'll see that anything that you're in disagreement with follows you around, so that if you're complaining about a person in your life or your job, that's what you think about all the time, whether you're with them or not.
And by the way, if you want, you can actually put complaint and resistance in this case, as a synonym.
Synonyms, right.
It's the same thing. If you're complaining, you're resisting.
Anything you're saying no to is a complaint.
So the second principle...
And that's anything you're resisting is something you're saying no to as well.
Yeah.
And the second principle is you can only be exactly as you are in the current moment of now.
So
that was a finger snap.
So that includes...
That was another one.
That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, and a third. Should we do a fourth? There we go.
While I'm ahead.
Yeah, very good. And, you know, when we're talking about how you can only be exactly as you are in any given moment, That includes if you happen to be resisting something right now or you've been lost in a series of complaints.
That's the only way you could have been in that moment.
You can't be any different than you are in any given moment.
See, and if you can't be different than you are right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the picture analogy.
Right.
If somebody takes your photo, if your eyes are half open, they couldn't have in that moment been fully open.
That's right.
And it's that simple. So if you had those little red spots, you could have only had those little red spots.
Right. So you can only be exactly as you are in any given moment. Now, here's the room for the third principle.
Well, no, but we got to go back to the second principle.
I like it.
Any previous moment in your life, you could have only been the way you were in that moment.
Excellent.
Because you were. And so in any moment of your life, you could only be the way you are or were. Now, future moments, they don't get here until moments of now. So you don't have to really worry about how the future is going to turn out. You'll find out how it turns out because it shows up as a moment of now. And if you're here for this moment of now, you can deal with almost anything that comes your way. Because the future hasn't gotten here yet. And it's a lot formed by how you are in the current moment is how you'll be in future moments. Anyway, so that's the second principle. Third principle says, anything that you see and allow to be exactly as it is completes itself. So there's nothing you need to do. You just have to be willing to observe your life as it's showing up. Oh, our approach is not psychotherapeutic. It's anthropological. So we are not interested in fixing or changing or making you better. Really. It's about you becoming a scientist, an anthropologist who studies a culture of one, the way you relate to life. Without judging it, though, that's the critical factor. If you judge something, you get stuck with it. If you see it and don't judge it, it completes itself in the instant you see it. Instantaneous transformation.
Absolutely. So let's look at complaints. We really got interested in complaints in December, November, December. We have a lot of people in the European community who support instantaneous transformation. And we were on a phone call with a number of them, and we came up
with a game.
Yeah, just spontaneously. And that was to live in a complaint-free, drama-free zone for 1 week.
And that game has continued for a lot of people because they found some amazing things happened when they gave up complaining and creating drama in their lives. They found that they became incredibly much more effective and satisfied in everything they did in their lives.
When the people in the instantaneous transformation community in New York area heard about it, they wanted to play the game as well. So on several Monday nights in the past month, people have been standing up to talk about the amazing things that have happened as they got committed to having their complaint department closed. First of all, it takes awareness, and secondly, it took a bit of discipline because most of us, unawarely, have a series of complaints that run in the background and sometimes in the foreground. There was one individual who wrote an email saying, oh, yeah, I'd like to play the game, but I think after all the work I've done on myself, I don't complain very much anymore. And within a day, he wrote back an email laughing at himself because as he became aware of himself, he discovered that there were complaints large and small.
See, as I said earlier, our approach is anthropological, and anthropologists study cultures. And what we don't realize most of the time is that we were raised in a culture of complaint, that we grew up amongst people who complained. So complaining is like a social way of communicating. People complain. You go to the airport and you're standing in line there and people are complaining to you about how you have to stand in line. Everywhere you go, people are being sociable via complaint.
So they invite you to connect up and be friendly with them via complaint.
Right.
And you do have the option whether or not to join in that, or you can divert the conversation to something else. You know, another really fun complaint that came up on the Monday night, there's a woman who comes, her name is Tricia, and she's the principal of a school in Connecticut, and she came up to tell everyone how amused she was to discover a type of complaining she put together when she was a teenager, and that is sighing. And that when people would come to, successive people would come into her office to talk to her about things when she was in the midst of stuff, she'd go, and she caught herself doing it, and she realized that that sigh was a complaint, like, oh gosh, here comes another person, or oh, what's next? As you play the game of closing your complaint department, should you choose to play it, you're going to see lots of archaic ways that you put together of complaining.
Archaic, that's like old.
Really old, because it's not only yours, it's ones you learned from your family.
Other people, and school, and teachers, and church, and like that.
And if you don't judge yourself for what you see, it will dissolve.
That's right.
In fact, Dave was telling us that he complained all the time about himself, and the more he noticed it, it stopped, and then he became amazingly productive at work.
Right.
We have a caller. Shall we take her?
Yes. Andrea, are you there?
I am here. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Where are you calling from?
Very well.
I'm calling from Switzerland.
Oh, so nice to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's so nice to be with you.
Excellent.
I was part of that group who was playing that game.
Yes.
And it is so amazing. I got so much more work done.
Excellent.
And yeah, it's really cool. And I found also really cool complaints. Like, I didn't want to go to bed in the evening. I wanted to stay up late. And
how old were
like
you
that.
When you remember doing that for the first time?
I guess something like five years.
Yeah, isn't that funny how we have complaints set in place when we were in preschool?
Right.
But it's quite amazing.
We've learned everything we know from the culture we grew up in. And if the people you grew up around complained, that's how you learned to relate to life, where life wasn't going the way you wanted.
Yeah, wow. You had to go to bed.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That's a good one. I bet a lot of people listening to this show have that. They push themselves past when they're tired because they don't want to be dominated. They don't want to have to go to bed.
Right.
Yeah, the cool thing is it's the same in the morning.
You don't want to get up.
The alarm clock goes off, and I think, oh no, not now, later.
Yes, so you start the day with a complaint and end the day with a complaint.
Exactly. That was cool to see.
I have a question for you. Your noticing the complaint at the end of the day and the beginning of the day, has it calmed down or is it as strong as it was?
No, it's never as strong as it was. I feel like it is when I'm already upset somehow, it's much more stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Than it is when I feel okay with myself. Then it's not that strong anymore.
That's great. Then your complaints aren't really a problem. They're an indicator that you're already upset.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
So
I do have a question.
Okay.
I'm a singing teacher, so I teach singing to my students.
Yes.
And oftentimes when they learn something new, they complain a lot about themselves because they feel like they don't do it right or they don't get it as fast as they want to.
Yes.
And I was wondering, how can I support them best so that they feel okay with themselves?
Well, you can ask them to do it better than they're doing it.
Uh-huh.
Which they will not be able to.
Which they will not be able to do. You can ask them if they could have done it any better than they just did it. And they're going to say, yes, of course. But in reality, could they have done it any better than they did it?
True, yeah.
And then they can start slowing down and stopping trying to get to where they think they should be.
You could also tell them the story of Matajura. Do you know that story?
No.
Matajura was one of the greatest swordsmen in Japan.
And
swordsmen.
You know, like with a samurai sword?
Oh, okay. Got it. Yes.
And, well, he wanted to become a swordsman. He went to the best sword fighter that he knew of, a fellow named Banzo.
Banzo, you're right.
And he asked him to become his disciple. And he said, but my father's getting old, and I'm going to have to go back and take care of him. So how long do you think it will take? He said, well, it'll probably take 10 years. He said, well, that's too long. My father's getting old. What if I work twice as hard?
Day and night.
Day and night. Banzo said, well, then it'll probably take around 30 years. So he agreed to become Banzo's disciple, and as the story goes, and for the first year, Banzo didn't give him any, never let him touch a sword, but attacked him with a wooden sword at different times to get his
attention.
Right.
An awareness up.
And once he got good and started anticipating the attacks, he then gave him a sword and he became the best swordsman in all of Japan. But it happened out of his
being willing to be where he was.
Right.
Rather than trying to get somewhere fast.
So that's
cool.
What your student, that's what your students need to learn. Look, we have to go to a break.
Can you come back with us after the break?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. We'll be back shortly, everyone, so come on back.
And don't miss being here.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Kane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here. Write comments on the Transformational Moments blog and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities. possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Canes Fun Interactive Workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. We're talking about the complaint department is closed. I want to invite you all to our New York course that's happening March 9th through 11th. It's Simplicity.
How to dissolve stress, fear, worry, and guilt.
Sounds like a great...
Really?
It is going to be great.
You know, how to live in a simple way that dissolves stress and fear and guilt and worry.
Which are all complaints, by the way.
That's right.
Also,
I didn't see it that way, but you're absolutely
really is,
right.
It really is, isn't it?
You stress yourself by resisting what is,
mm-hmm.
by saying no to what is.
All fear is a complaint about
how
possible
futures. How
the future
may show up. And feeling guilty is a complaint about how you did things wrong in the past, when in fact you couldn't have done it any differently than you did.
If you're in the European community, we are coming March 29th to do the Freedom to Breathe course and also the Secret of Wonderful Relationships on the 30th, 31st, and April 1st, and you're invited there as well.
You could even come to both.
That's right.
We're non-discriminatory.
Andrea, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. So I know we kind of had to wrap up the end of that last segment a little quickly. So did you get the point that if your
students are trying too hard to get to something they think is better, they are ahead of themselves, and they miss the current moment of their lives because they're going somewhere?
Yes, I totally get that. And it gives me as a teacher a totally new opportunity to support them. Because I guess sometimes I get into that it should be better or it should be more than it is at the moment. I get into that as well.
Yeah,
right.
As a teacher person.
You know, it's interesting. Shai and I built at one point a conference center in Bali, Indonesia. And we were there for the initial groundbreaking.
Breaking ground.
And what was really interesting to me was how long they dug down and how they put in the rebar and they bent it. And
for the foundation.
They put the footing in the foundation so that the conference center wouldn't slide off the hillside. But it was a really unsexy, unremarkable process.
Yes.
Because it didn't look like much. And I see that with your students as well. You know, when they have the really fun part is when you're putting on the roof and it's looking beautiful, or the marble floors finally go down, or the fixtures in the bathroom. But before that, you're building a solid foundation. And if you remind them that it's not about performing the piece while they're learning it, but it's about building a solid foundation so that they can perform the piece, I think they'll relax. And in relaxing, they have to be singing better.
Wow, yes, that's cool. Thank you.
But, you know, we're kind of like people whisperers. We've heard of Cesar Millan. He's called the dog whisperer, and he has a calm, assertive presence. And in a way, you need to embody that as well. You're wanting to get ahead faster, they're going to feel that, and they'll put a pressure on themselves because they'll follow your lead.
Yes.
So the more you trust yourself and relax, and allow them to be exactly as they are and exactly as they're not, they're instantaneously going to have the ability to sing more true to their abilities.
But look at it this way. Are you better when you're feeling comfortable in yourself or when somebody is watching over you and criticizing you in their thoughts?
I'm absolutely better when I feel comfortable with someone.
Right. And if they're criticizing you, then you start criticizing you. Now, here's the
thing.
Absolutely. Your students may criticize themselves anyway because they are steeped in a culture of complaint where they're complaining about how they do what they do.
Uh-huh. Well, yes.
Right.
I like that. I like that because then it feels like the way I show up, they feel like they can feel that.
Yes.
Or they can
exactly
get in tune with that as well.
You can be a space where they can feel comfortable being themselves.
That's wonderful.
And that includes not knowing what they don't know yet.
Yes, exactly. Because that's what I experience with my singing as well when I learn new stuff. That I don't know it before I know it.
Yes, well, the easier you are with yourself about that process, the more you'll be a space for your clients, your students, to be easy with themselves as well. You can't teach what you don't already embody.
Yes, absolutely.
That's so great. It comes back to being kind to yourself once again. Isn't that funny how everything comes back to being kind to yourself?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yes.
Really
thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much.
Yeah, you know, you were on a show sometime last year, and it was so good that we took a piece of the conversation with you about flirting, the art of flirting, and we put it in our upcoming relationship book.
Wow!
Yeah, you didn't know that.
No.
So,
what a surprise.
Yeah, so when it comes out, you'll have to get a copy.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
You're
welcome very much. Have a great rest of your day. That was really fun.
That was.
You know, share this show with people, folks. It really makes life easier when you have a community of people around you who are dedicated to not complaining. Boy, does it make it fun.
Well, when life is fun, where you're not complaining about whatever it is you're doing, That grows, that expands, that creates possibilities everywhere in your life.
Yes, playing this game with friends made it so much easier for us to stay on track as well.
Right.
We have another caller. Shall we take her?
Yes, we do. Sandy, are you there?
How are you?
We are great. How are you?
I'm great.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling in from Munich in Germany, down south.
Nice.
Yeah. And, yes, I have a question also about complaints. I was playing the complaint game with you as well. You can drop complaints about other people or other things, but I kind of like complaining about myself, something I should do. Like, you know, to be a good person, I should complain about myself.
Let's stop right there. Where'd you learn that?
It must be a familiar. I was thinking about that. I don't remember.
Probably somebody you looked up to.
Well, I like what you said. You don't remember. See, most of us don't remember our early childhood. Do you remember learning to speak English or German?
No.
Right. But you don't remember that, but you can speak those languages.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that your father was an American.
Right.
So that,
and your mother was German, so
right.
You learned both languages.
And you don't remember that, but you don't remember where you learned to complain either. And you don't, see, there were, what do they call them, aphorisms, like
spare the rod and spoil the child,
or things like that, where you learn a way of looking at life, like you got to put your nose to the grindstone and work hard.
Or money doesn't grow on trees.
Right. All these ideas about, and one of them is that you don't learn if you're not hard on yourself.
Right.
You know, so you beat the horse with the whip rather than encourage it with a click-click, you know?
Yeah, so in that case, I'm the horse that I beat on.
That's right. And you're your own horse that you beat on.
But you know, I love the horses in Costa Rica. There's a horse that the owner has that Shia normally rides. Do you remember?
Luminosa.
Luminosa. She's this beautiful, beautiful horse. She was out in the field when the, because most of the horses are actually pastured, when she came up to the owner and put her head on his shoulder, and he realized that she was this beauty in disguise and had her brought down and be raised as a barn animal so she has more grooming and care, and she's not one of the animals that the cowboys ride. And one of the things that I love is when we get either pieces of watermelon or carrots or apple, and we go down to the barn and we find Luminosa and we feed her. And she loves Shia. Her ears perk up. I guarantee you, if we beat her,
she wouldn't love Shia at all. She'd run away when I'd show up. Now, when she sees me or hears my voice, she comes to me.
You know, we go to this coffee shop in Belvedere, and it has a bunch of funny sayings up on the wall. And it's
Belvedere's a town in New Jersey.
It's a little town. When we go to visit our doctor, Dr. Reddy, and so we often go there for lunch. And one of these sayings is, if you treat your wife as a thoroughbred, you will never be hitched to a nag. And I see that in a way, like you don't treat yourself like a thoroughbred. You've treated yourself like a nag.
What's a thoroughbred?
Thoroughbred is like a racehorse, you know, a very...
You know, like...
Okay.
Yeah, like a racehorse, or like a horse that is...
Very prized.
Wow, yeah.
No,
that makes a lot of sense, because it's like, in my case, I go through these phases, well, very long phases of well-being, and then it's like I open a faucet of complaints, and I don't really like myself in that.
Well,
you know.
Let me slow you down for a second. You said something very interesting there, Sandy. You said that you open the faucet of complaint. That's
mm-hmm.
right. But you don't have to open that faucet, you see.
But if you're opening a faucet of complaint, there, instead of like, oh, I do this awful thing, I guarantee you that there's a use in it, because you're not stupid. You're a smart, smart individual. So somewhere you put it together that the complaints save you from something. And it could be that, you know, I know our friend Caitlin, who is a costume designer, she used to complain or have, like, temper tantrums when she wasn't sure where her next job was coming from. Or and it actually saved her from the discomfort of being in the unknown. And I know, for instance, that you have launched into a new creative project. You have a store, which, by the way, I hear is beautiful, and that you sell beautiful things. But you're in the process of building your business, and there's times when there's a slack time. And it may be that you're keeping yourself company by complaining to yourself about yourself when you don't know what else to do to, for instance, grow your business.
That, yeah, that's absolutely true. I noticed that it's really strong when I feel like I should do something promotional, and I don't know what to do or what would be good, and I find it very hard actually to advertise for myself. So instead, I can go into
that's the whole thing, Sandy. You find it hard to promote Sandy, to say how great Sandy is.
You could say how great we are. a lot easier than when you could say how great you are.
Yep. That's true.
Well, I have a suggestion for you this week. I suggest you practice self-promotion.
Okay.
What it's going to take is suspending your complaints about yourself.
And those complaints about yourself were put into place by a child. You know, pre-puberty. You're now a woman with two daughters, correct?
Right, and they're both full age now.
And they're both full age, right. So, you know, you're not who you think you are. Because your thoughts are very old about you.
And they complain lots and lots of complaints.
To yourself.
You know, in our first book, Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, we have a whole section about worms, that our brains are wormy. And what it is that there are things written in there indelibly, write once, read many. It's WORM is an acronym for write once, read many. And those thoughts that are self-deprecating appear as if new.
But they're really very, very old. You've written the text called I'm Not Good At, and you fill in the blank with whatever you're doing as though it's a new thought.
Yeah, that's right. And I've noticed that in the case of editing, I also work as an editor, film editor. And I'm working on a project right now, and I used to get a lot of feedback that was, oh, you should do this better, or, you know, change that. And lately, it's just not happening. It's like people are adoring what I do.
And on that note, Sandy.
We're going to take a break.
Come back with us after the break, and we'll be back shortly. And don't miss
being here.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shaya Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shaya's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Kane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at TransformationMadeEasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shaya Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Kane's fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Kane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. I know we ended abruptly there, Sandy, but I really love that you were talking about people adoring you, so that was a good place to end.
Yeah. Yeah, the complaints aren't, I think I made it sound very dramatic, but they've gotten so much lighter than they used to be. So.
You mean since you started playing the game of the complaint department is closed or living in a complaint-free, drama-free zone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. It just takes continued awareness.
Awareness is what it takes, where you see that you're complaining and you don't judge yourself for it. You just notice it, then it completes itself.
And awareness isn't an achievement. It's a lifestyle. And the more you do it, the easier your life gets. And I want to say one thing before we end with you. You were talking about how you used to get feedback while editing about things they wanted you to change. And now the feedback you're getting is how much they adore you. I think it's really wonderful if you keep connecting into your environment for the feedback of your environment as opposed to the internal script and the commentary you have inside the
apparent. That tells you you're never good enough.
Perfect. Yes.
Excellent. And when you feel the urge or compulsion to turn on that complaint faucet, Sandy,
mm-hmm.
instead, as an alternative, I suggest looking around and seeing what you can invest in your environment.
That's a great idea. I'll do that.
You know, cleaning a drawer, scrubbing a dish, calling a friend and making a difference with them, something that takes your attention off you and how you're doing, you may discover will actually weld that faucet shut.
Yay, that's great.
Hey, thanks for calling in today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Really
You're welcome,
a pleasure.
Darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, that was lovely. We have another caller. Wow.
Yes,
shall we
do.
Take her?
Oh, please. Stephanie, are you there?
I'm here. Hey.
Excellent.
Hey. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Rosengarten in North Germany.
Ah,
uh-huh.
We went from north to south to south, north again.
North to south to north, right.
Yeah.
It's so good to hear the show.
Oh, that's great.
It's really lovely. I just thought with Andrea and Sandy was like everything you said and they said was like, oh, I can relate.
Yes.
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 Well, good. Then if you can relate, other people out there can relate.
Yeah, especially this whole thing, you know, well, not especially, but I'm just circling back around to it, where Andrea was talking about, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to get up in the morning. That is like a class A complaint that's put together when we're kids. I don't want to have to put on my jacket to go outside or, you know,
yeah,
I don't want to eat my vegetables.
I was laughing when she said that because I have exactly the same thing. I don't want to go to bed, and even more, I don't want to get up.
Yes.
But that really calmed down with, I played this game with you also, and it really got much quieter.
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough for Shia and I, when we got really involved in writing the book that's coming out this spring and summer, we got so activated that instead of not wanting to get up,
we were getting up at 5 o'clock every morning.
We kept waking up, and we're still on that rhythm where we're like, "Is it time to get up yet?" Our enthusiasm has returned, the kind of enthusiasm I certainly haven't had since I was a child.
That's great. It sounds like fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Getting really engaged in your life is fun. Do you have a question for us
yes,
today?
Yes, I have a question also. I have a client which is actually a company with multiple people, and I work with some of the people. And I really like them all, but they have this habit of, well, or maybe it's not a habit, and maybe it has to do with me, but they complain a lot about each other when I'm speaking with one of them. And lately I found myself that I just got aware of that. If they do that, I get really tight, and then I start complaining about them in my head about complaining.
Right.
And I feel like that is not very helpful.
Well, you know, you can gently tell them that you're uncomfortable with speaking about their colleagues because it then has you have a something that you're withholding from their colleague and that you prefer not to talk with them.
Good idea. Yeah, because then I start feeling bad towards the other person.
You know, the other thing, too, though, Stephanie, we have a friend that used to always complain with us about other people and socialize, and it became really important that Shai and I paid attention to how we invited that.
Yeah.
Really? You see, you are an invitation, whether you realize it or not, to complain.
Yeah, I can see that.
And so that's why they pick you. They wouldn't complain to me. Now, of course, I don't speak German, so they couldn't talk to me even. But I'm not open to complaints. I'm not looking to complain so people don't complain to me.
Right.
I noticed we talked before about being in the airport, and, you know, there are sometimes, especially around the holidays, you have long lines at the security, you know, gates, and people there will try to get you to join them in complaining about the situation at the airport and having to stand on a line to go through security.
Yes.
And you can either join in their complaint or you can not engage in it.
Or give them a light smile and go back to what you're doing.
Right.
Found it interesting with this individual that it was a way of being friendly with
bonding.
And then what we discovered is that there are ways that we can initiate that. And one way of initiating it is sometimes with just a pause in the conversation. It invites it. Or you can say a leading sentence that initiates it.
That in effect, starts their mind working on what they're complaining about, and then they put it on external speaker for you.
Oh.
So rather than it being, I'm certain it is the culture of that company. But you can take authorship for your life if you start paying attention to how you invite it and how your complaint department is not closed.
See, if your complaint department was closed, they wouldn't even begin to complain to you.
And we can't tell you exactly how to deal with it because each moment and each individual is different, but there have been times where somebody will start complaining to me or to Shia, and one of us will say, oh, let's not talk about that. That's just going to lead us to having a bad day. And then it's over. And then there are other times where we've just changed the subject, said, oh, by the way, I have a question. Or there are ways to go about it, but it's whether or not you're willing to live in a complaint-free life.
I love that.
If you can start looking at it, if people are complaining to you, then you're complaining.
Right. It makes sense. It makes total sense. I love looking at where I invite it. It does, totally.
The other thing, Stephanie, is you need to slow down a little.
Right.
So you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
All the time, trying to get somewhere.
I actually think that is a theme. If we look back to what Andrea was talking about, and then even what Sandy was talking about how to promote herself, and now just in how Stephanie is being, when you're trying to get somewhere, you generate complaints.
Not only that, that's true, but you stop listening.
Which also generates complaints because you're out of sync with your environment.
So there were a couple of times where I was going to say something to you, but you were going somewhere, so there was no space to talk into.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, it's interesting. I want to go back to one of the first things you said about this in your question when you said that they complain and you resist it and then you're complaining about their complaints. That's such a perfect graphic example of the first principle of instantaneous transformation. Not only what you resist persists and grows stronger, but you turn into that which you resist, which is why a lot of people will complain about their mom or their dad, and as they age, they get more and more like that parent that they've resisted.
That makes sense, too.
It all makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, because how you were approaching it before, you were the victim of these complaining people.
Right.
Right.
And what we're offering you is the possibility that that complaint doesn't happen in a vacuum, that you are part of it.
Yeah.
And if you see that, Stephanie, then just seeing it is enough to dissolve the complaints. But you still judge yourself for complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true.
And you judge other people for complaining as if complaining is bad and not complaining is good.
Yeah.
So your mind is hierarchical. It's structured in hierarchy, so you have better and worse and good and bad. And when you're feeling a little insecure, you have a tendency to put yourself above other people.
Mm.
Some people put themselves below. When Sandy feels a little insecure, she puts herself below other people. But you have a tendency to take a stance of above.
Right.
And then it's like they're just these annoying, complainy people. Mm. And if they would only get it together like I have it.
Right. If they'd only do this workshop I want them to do, then they would be okay.
And see, that's change. Transformation is really about partnership, and it's including, and it's a non-judgmental perspective. And I go back to what we were talking about with one of the earlier callers. I can't remember which one now.
About being gentle with yourself?
Yeah, it really is about being kind to yourself for what you see.
And here's the thing. We're all products of the culture we grew up in. And in the culture you grew up, people were not kind to themselves. They were highly judgmental of the quality of their work. They beat on themselves, thinking they should do it better than they're doing it. And you grew up in that culture. So the thing is, don't feel sorry for yourself about that. Notice it non-judgmentally. Notice it with awareness, and it will dissolve and lose its power over you. And then what will happen out of that, Stephanie, is as you interact with people, they will feel better being around you because you're not judging them. See, because right now, when you talk about people complaining, you're judging them for complaining.
Yeah.
And you're judging yourself for complaining about their complaining, which is why we're talking at the beginning of the show that if you're complaining, you can only have been that way.
So to feel bad that you've been complaining about their complaining will not dissolve your complaints. But if you, and I'm not suggesting you should feel good about it either. I'm suggesting that you should notice it and not complain to yourself about your complaints, not judge yourself for how you couldn't help but be. And then you have then you actually have the possibility of being the author of your own life rather than live out a mechanical pre-programmed script.
You know, in our book that's coming out, we have a quote from Buddha. And I love this quote in relationship to what we're talking about today. Here's the quote, Stephanie. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. If you're complaining inside, your world becomes
a complaint.
It's a little bit like putting on glasses and looking through, instead of rose-colored glasses, complaint-colored glasses. It's not that the world is filled with things to complain about. It's really about how you approach it. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, we talk about how awareness is not an achievement, it's a lifestyle. Well, closing your complaint department is not an achievement either. It's a lifestyle where you see all the nuances of how you complain without judging what you see.
And without judging yourself for having complained. Because, you see, that's the thing. If you judge yourself, you'll keep doing it. If you don't judge yourself, if you see it without judgment, it will complete itself.
Just like the show has. We've come to the end.
Yes, we've come to the
end. Went fast, didn't it?
It did.
It was so lovely having you call in and be on the show today. We really appreciate it. I thought your question was great, too, and really going to be supportive to a lot of people.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephanie.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. And please, share this show. How wonderful if we all start living in a complaint-free zone, drama-free zone. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next week.
So come on back. And
don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.